Last week, we started a brand new series titled Look Beyond. It's based on a story found in Numbers 32, when the leaders of two tribes, the tribes of Gad and Reuben, came to Moses and asked him for the first piece of land in the promised land that the Israelites were able to conquer. At that time, Moses rebuked them because they were only thinking of themselves. Moses asked them, "How could you discourage your brothers and sisters in such a way, wanting to settle here and not cross the river to fight along your brothers and sisters?" See, the rest of the promised land was across the Jordan River, and those who had settled in the first plot of land had to look beyond themselves to realize that even though they had already conquered their portion in the promised land, other people hadn't, and therefore the work wasn't done. See, looking beyond requires vision. Looking beyond requires faith. Looking beyond requires hope. You may look around you today and all you see is negativity. All you see is injustice. You see suffering all around. Here we are, still fighting a global pandemic, in isolation, in our homes, but also on the streets, there's a voice. There's a clamor. There's an outcry. Today, we're dealing with pandemic and the reality of racism in our land. And that may seem like all we can see. And I don't want you to look away today. Actually, I want you to look at it attentively. So attentively that you're able to look past our present day. Because looking beyond is what is required for us to overcome this circumstance, to overcome the obstacles that are at hand, to see a brighter tomorrow. We have to be able to look beyond. The framers of our Constitution, many who were men of faith, they looked beyond. In 1788, when the Constitution was to be adopted, our country was already divided on the topic of slavery. See, the framers of the Constitution in large part opposed slavery. Some refused to sign the Constitution unless they outlawed the slave trade. The compromise they reached was to include an article in the Constitution allowing Congress to ban importation of slaves in 1808, 20 years later. It was believed that in 20 years, the southern states would be ready to relinquish slavery. When 20 years passed, though they didn't end slavery completely, what did happen on January 1st, 1808, was the ban on the importation of slaves. By then, many of our northern states were already anti-slavery states. On that day, Reverend Absalom Jones, America's first Black Episcopalian priest, he delivered a powerful sermon in Philadelphia at the Church of St. Thomas, a church that was built by him and Benjamin Rush, who was a signer of the Constitution, signer of the Declaration of Independence, rather, and founder of the America's first abolition society. This is what Reverend Jones shared in his passionate sermon. He said, "Let this day, January 1st, be set apart every year for public thanksgiving. And when the children ask, what lessons, what psalms, what prayers, what are these songs about? What do they mean? We shall say, the Lord abolished the trade which dragged our fathers and their native from their native lands to be sold as bondmen here in America." Since then, many Black American churches have celebrated each year on January 1st with services called Watch Night or Freedom's Eve. 55 years later, from 1808, also on January 1st, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed by Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. Three years ago, I felt drawn to this place. I would do my sermon studies at the library across the street and come here to pray. I know, it seems odd. I tried to bring my wife here with me one time, but she couldn't get into it. Something about praying in the cemetery that wasn't attractive to her for some reason. But to me, this place didn't carry the eerie burden and sadness that a cemetery typically brings. I would prayerfully walk these walkways and these aisles, and read the tombstones of the people who have gone before us, people who have fought for justice, people who lived their life defending freedom. And I was reminded of two important things. First, the finite nature of life. When we are young, life seems to go on forever. We don't value time, we don't value health, because we think we have plenty of it. These memorials are a reminder of what the scripture said, that life is but a vapor. Second, I'm reminded that my life counts. That if I am to live my life connected to God, connected to others, connected to purpose, I can leave this world better than I found it. I'm reminded that the injustices that persist in the world today, they may have outlasted those who have gone before us, but that many of them gave their lives to give us a better world, to deliver us a world that is better than when they found it, a world that is further ahead. And it encourages me. It encourages me to do the same, to make life more hopeful, to make life more loving, to make life more united, more empathic. You may be thinking, JD, how can you find hope in a cemetery? A place of so much pain, a place of so much sorrow. See, I find hope here in the same way that I can find hope in the state of our country right now. Looking at our country right now, so much pain, so much angst, so much suffering that is coming to the surface. It's easy to look at it and to think, how are we going to overcome this? How are things going to get better? It seems like we've been going around this mountain for too long now. It seems like the promise is not going to come to pass. It seems like we will never find peace and never become truly one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to look beyond. Look beyond today. Scripture says that weeping may tarry for the night. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You may be weeping. You may be in sorrow. You may be in pain. But know that those who have gone before us also endured pain. But they kept going. They kept going because they saw the light of salvation. You may be wondering, when is it going to end? It has been so long. But the path of the righteous, the scripture says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until its full day. See, as a nation, we may not be where we know we ought to be, but we are not where we were 60 years ago. It may not be full day yet, but it's brighter than the days of Reverend Jones. 150 years ago, there was a generation that fought to end slavery, and they did. 60 years ago, there was a generation that fought to end segregation, and they did. As I pray and live these days filled with bitterness and pain, a much more sophisticated fight is required of us, because our enemy is much more insidious than its predecessors. See, it's not an enemy that can go away with the stroke of a presidential pen. This is not an enemy that can be eradicated by law enforcement. The enemy that we're fighting, this enemy, is an enemy that gets ingrained in our hearts. It lives in our minds. It lives in our biases and in our preconceived ideas. But we must look beyond. Let us not be conformed with the pattern of this world, with the pattern of our generation, with the pattern that we see. But let us be transformed daily by the renewal of our mind, so that we may understand the fight of our generation. As I look at our country right now, here's the cry of my heart. The cry of my heart is that may we be the generation that fights to end racism. May we do it without bloodshed. May we do it with repentant hearts. May we do it in love. And may we,
by the grace of God, one day also say, we did it. And Jesus was about to end his ministry on earth. Before he went to the cross, he faced a divided world, but he too looked beyond. And he prayed the following, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. This is in John 17, 22. After this prayer, Jesus was crucified. His disciples were scattered. It looked like his efforts were in vain. It looked like God did not answer his prayer. It looked like his ministry ended on the cross. But the moment of greatest suffering was not the end. It was a new beginning. Friends, let me encourage you with this. Let's look beyond and place our lives in God's presence so that Christ's prayer may be true in our generation. May we look beyond division and see unity. May we look beyond despair and see hope. May we look beyond our differences and see that God has made us all brothers and sisters by Christ's love. Jesus said that our unity will reveal God's love in the earth. So let's look beyond and let's love one another.